Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome, folks, to this Thursday, June 23rd, 2022 edition of the Hagman Report. Of course, I'm Doug Hagman. I want to thank everyone for your belief and your trust in this platform. Just a couple of reminders coming out of the gate. Next week, Tuesday and Wednesday at the least, folks, this program, I'm not sure what's going to happen. I'm going to be in Washington, D.C. Really not exactly my choice of destinations, but I need to be there. For reasons I'm just going to leave alone. So just put that on your schedule. In other words, Tuesday and Wednesday, there may be a interruption in this program. But don't worry, I'll be back. I promise. All right. So there's that. And then I am so excited to announce this. Eric the Tech, Steve Quayle, and the entire Gen 6 group actually have put together the pre-sale page for this mini conference / fundraiser. And there it is on your screen right now. If you take a look, the Egyptian and Alien Connections in the Americas, okay? I'm going to tell you something. I have seen all of the material from this, and I was talking with Steve about it, and he was blown away. And let me tell you, if he's blown away, I'm blown away even more. This stuff is stuff that I don't even know how to describe it, except when you sign on to this, you're going to see things that have not been seen by human eyes for at least 6,000 years. And you're going to have, this will connect the dots in the bigger picture for you. I'm going to leave it there. And if Steve wants to add, he can add. The banner is up on Steve's website as well as HagmanReport.com. Go there and pre-register. The material will be ready for disbursement on July 30th. I believe that's the date. But I'm going to tell you something, okay? You're going to want this because this answers a lot of questions, especially the questions I had. So, okay, there's that. Now, you know, folks, come here. Gather around the table. You know what's going on in our schools today, right? You know the fact that we are fighting this Leviathan of indoctrination. You've got people that are teaching your children, and my grandchildren things like critical race theory. Oh, no, they're not. Yes, they are. Uh-huh. Say it with me. Yes, they are. And other things. Rewriting history. You know, I was doing some research because my grandchildren now are going to be of that age of learning. And I'm telling you right now, homeschooling is the way to go. So instead of talking about critical race theory and all the stuff that they're teaching and brainwashing, remember Rush Limbaugh saying, little minds of mush, right? Instead of brainwashing and molding what they want your children to learn, there are options. So we have a solution. And I thank, from the bottom of my heart, I thank Steve Quayle and the guest with me, Julia Brickman. But Steve Quayle, from the bottom of my heart, for locating this individual, by the way, who has put, I just want to say this, okay? What you're about to hear is a solution, but this woman put, and the husband and wife, to launch this platform for homeschooling. All of their life savings. I mean, like $1.5 million. I mean, they were, she'll tell you the story. I'm not going to, but let me tell you, you know, when you go to a casino, hopefully you don't, but if you ever have seen movies, when you're all in, you push all the chips in, that's where my guests are at. Okay. All in. So that's how committed they are. But when I was looking at homeschooling, did you know that people like John Adams, John Quincy Adams and Garfield, and many of our presidents, Andrew Jackson, Thomas Jefferson, they were all homeschooled. And yes, there were school buildings back at that time. But a number of famous people today, even today, have been homeschooled. You're not going to hear this in the media. So I, at this point, I'm going to shut up. I'm going to turn this over to Steve Quayle. Steve is going to conduct this interview, but I am just absolutely pleased to have with me both Steve Quayle and Julia Brickman, who's the CEO and founder of Skipper.io, which they're going to be talking about. But listen to the story. These are, you ask for solutions. You've emailed me and saying, you know, you talk about these problems, bring the solutions. Well, here is a solution. But you know what? It's a solution that's going to require your involvement. Okay. I'm telling you, you need to be involved. But with that, Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com, gen6.com. Remember, sign up for that mini conference / fundraiser. Please do it today. And listen carefully to what our guests have to say. Steve, thanks so much for being here and bringing Ms. Brickman on.
You're more than welcome. And I've known Aaron and Julia for almost, I think, 14, 15 years. And quite candidly, I talked to them, and Aaron and I established a relationship when they were living in the Caribbean. Aaron's a very, very articulate man, and Julia's a visionary that's able to communicate a vision. But when they say they put their heart, their soul, and the bottoms of their shoes into it too, that's not an exaggeration. And so I want to give Julia maximum time. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a solution. Now, my heart is in teaching children values. And, I started a Christian school in Bozeman, and unfortunately, it's morphed away from that. And I started that almost 40 years ago. It was called Heritage Christian School, and it was based on the scripture, children are a heritage of the Lord. We have watched an entire generation disappear. So when Aaron and Julia started sharing their vision with me, I said, wow, because it's not what anybody would have thought of, in my opinion. And this is what I believe with all my heart, God has called Aaron and Julia Brickman to do. So, Julia, thank you for coming on. And just share your vision, share your heart, because people have got to understand where you have a solution. It's a transformational solution, and it's the end of what I would call, existential pollution of the children. Go ahead.
Thank you, Steve, and thank you for having me on today, and thank you, Hagman. I'm excited to be here, excited to share our vision. I know that there's a crisis going on in our country and our education, but I'm very excited to share with you really what God has been doing behind the scenes, and it's been exciting to see what solutions he has for our families. Even if you don't know it, there's some great things happening, and there's great opportunity for you and your family. So I first want to share a little bit about my background, because my background dovetails into what we're doing right now. So I'm a wife. My husband and I have been married for almost 25 years. We're celebrating that next month. And we've been business partners almost that entire time, which is great. We finally have learned after our past company of really how to work well together, working with our strengths and where we complement each other. We also have a son. He's now 20. And so we've seen everything from the beginning of early childhood all the way up into graduating. And we've experienced everything in education, which I will share in my story and gives us a unique perspective. But primarily, I'm a businesswoman. I have grown up with families of innovators. I have a lineage of innovators who have innovated industries, from the arts and craft industry to stationery. And when I was in my early 20s, God put it on my heart to start a company. And so I did a side hustle. I had an invitation company. I saw trends that I wanted to implement. And this was in the late 90s. I kept telling my husband, I really want to do an internet company. And he kept telling me, internet has to get a little bit farther before we can do that. But finally, in the early 2000s, after the first dot-com boom, we launched our first company, and it was a stationery industry company. And what I'm experiencing right now in education and building our platform is almost identical to what we experienced with our first company. And with our stationery company, it was party invitations, which was a big industry at that time. You could go to anybody's house and see invitations on people's fridge. It was just people sent invitations to everything. But when we went to the different manufacturers and trade shows, we told them we're an internet company. We want to sell your products online. And they would literally turn their face away from us and walk away. And they said, there's no way we're putting our product on your website. Internet companies are not legitimate businesses because you're not brick and mortar. And you work in internet companies, they work from their home. And only brick and mortar companies are considered companies. And fast forward 18 months later, those same companies that were rejecting us were begging to be on our site. So we were able to create key partnerships. We had those key partnerships. The initial companies we worked with, we had them break all of their rules in order to be on our site. We were the first internet company that would showcase everybody, all these manufacturers' invitations. We created technology for efficiency. We had UPS wanting to purchase part of our drop ship technology that we created. And ultimately what we found out, we were young at the time, so we didn't know that, but now we know, is really we were a technology company that sold invitations. We could have sold any kind of widget. But what I also saw at that time was, if you asked any young person, especially girls, what do you want to do with your life? They all said, I want to be stationery creators. I'm an artist. I want to design stationery. And at that time, there was no option for people to do that. I'm seeing that same thing in education, which I'm going to share with you later on, where I'm seeing the same thing with how if you're not teaching in a traditional brick and mortar school, then it's not technically school. And you can think you only get a diploma from a school. And we're feeling that right now. If you're doing homeschooling, it's not legitimate, which we know it is. And we know it is the future of education. And same thing with learning resources was the same, which we saw in our first company, where people want to be able to be involved in creating incredible learning experiences and products to share it with people. So once we had our company, we decided that it was time for us to spend more time with our family. And so we sold our company and we retired to the Caribbean with our young son at that time. And through many different experiences in the Caribbean, we eventually moved to Florida so we could put our son back into school and educate in a traditional school. And that's really where I started to open my eyes to what was going on in the schools. My degree is in early childhood. I taught for a few years. I had a small inkling of what was going on when I was teaching. Things like I wasn't allowed to give anybody below a C in my class, whether they came to class or not. But when I took my son out of a top-ranking private school, moved to the Caribbean, and then moved to Florida to new schools, I really started seeing what was happening. And it was, at that time, there wasn't a lot of these extra things happening that Common Core, the things that are the crises right now that we're seeing. But the root of what's happening, education, is underlying. So we see all these crises happening around us, but it really gets down to the root of the fact that the standardized education model just is not working for the digital age. That 1900s model is standardized. It was built to create these workers that could do the same thing, do it well, follow directions. And because we're entrepreneurs and we have an outside the box kid, and we had them in traditional schools, I really started to see how schools only work, and this is a fact, this is a statistic, for 1 out of 4 kids. And basically, you can think of those 1 out of 4 kids are kids that do really well following directions. When you have outside the box kids, that's not what they're good at, following directions. They have so many other giftings and qualities of being able to problem solve and use their creativity, but that is not welcome in schools. And I noticed things, and one was the environment. There was bullying going on. The teachers were not really paying attention to my child. He started getting major anxiety and he felt very overwhelmed. And so I decided that instead of trying to fix a broken system, that I would take my child out of school and I would really focusing on what would be a solution that worked for him. And so I put our whole heart into educating him. This is when I became an accidental homeschool mom. It was not something that I planned. However, I always believed that parents should be involved in their education. I believed in homeschooling. I just didn't know that that's what I would be called to do. But let me tell you, as soon as I started homeschooling, I couldn't believe it. I was so shocked at what I was seeing. And I'm an educator. I taught in schools. I have a degree in teaching. And I know that when I walked into the classroom the first time, I had no idea what I was doing. I didn't know how to teach kids to read. But when I first got involved with the homeschool curriculum, I had so many of those aha moments of, I can't believe this exists and I didn't know about it. And it was the awesome curriculum that taught me how to teach. It taught me how to write papers. I went to great schools growing up, but I never knew how to write a paper. But as soon as I got involved in homeschooling, I saw these amazing qualities that homeschooling offered to families. And they offer it to kids, but they also offer it to parents, where it helps teach you how to teach. And then I started getting involved in our community, and I couldn't believe how wonderful the people were in our communities. And we'd come together and we would have teachers teaching our kids, and we would support one another. And it reminded me of maybe what it used to be like when communities came together to really support each other and their families. I was blown away. I was also on one of the boards for the homeschool association in our town, and I started seeing needs that the families needed, the homeschool associations needed, the communities that were offering classes to kids. I started to really open up to see there's so many great things that are going on with homeschooling, but it's also pretty difficult for just a typical parent to pull off. So I started thinking about, I built tech. How can I create a solution? I'm an entrepreneur. We create solutions. How can I create a solution to help all these different facets that are going on in education, and to support families, to support students, to support organizations and teachers that are in this community? And so I started looking at all these different options, and one of the main problems that I focused on was the organization aspect of it. It was really difficult to keep our education together. How was I going to teach my kid? What progress was he making? What work did he finish? And then we started working with our community schools. How can I communicate with the teachers? How can those teachers oversee what my child is doing? It really became this big mess. And so I started looking at different solutions. And one of them was a learning management system, which is traditional what people use to disseminate learning materials. You see that in schools. 87% of universities use those as well. And I really realized that those are not built for homeschooling, and they're not built for teachers and for students anyway. The students really do not like them, and the teachers don't want to use them. And I found that out even more when our son went back to school for high school, how they implemented these learning management systems, but nobody wanted to use them. And my thought process is that education is incredible. It's one of the most amazing experiences we have in our life if it's done right. And we're just killing kids' curiosity. And if they dread logging in to a learning management system to see what they have to do, we're killing their passion for learning. And so I sought out to, okay, how can we make a better learning management system? And one other problem I encountered was, I'm a teacher. I am certified in personality type, emotional intelligence. I was doing workshops for parents in our community, and I wanted to teach families and kids what I know, my subject that I know. I wanted to share it, but I did not have a place to go where I could create these courses or teach live besides in my community. And then I noticed there's a lot of homeschooling moms who used to be teachers and dads who are teachers, but there's no place for them to teach. And as I'm a mom looking to teach my kid, I'm looking for also additional options of if classes. So if I wanted him to take a math class that either I couldn't teach or I couldn't find in our community, where could I go to find him? And where could I go in our community to find these people that were teaching? So I noticed that we also were lacking just a marketplace where we can find other educators, either in your community or online, to supplement your learning. So that's when I started really thinking about all these different options and praying about it. And I figured, well, let's build it. And we thought that it'd be built pretty quickly, but it has taken quite a while. But we have built this incredible product, and it's called Skipper. It's a social learning platform that supports parents, students, educators, and schools. And it brings everybody together into one place. And so,
I'm sorry, Julia, let me just interrupt you for a minute. I want to put this into something everyone can grasp. So many times homeschoolers have felt isolated, didn't have access to the teaching assets or the just the vast amount of experience out there. So this is probably one of the neatest things I've ever seen in my life, because I believe in the mentoring system. I believe in the old guild system. I believe in teaching kids practical skills systems. And so when Julian Aaron started sharing the vision, I thought, whoa, this is unlike anything else, but it's so obvious it's needed. So I just wanted to say that in essence, Julia, you have created a platform of communication for all the people that are homeschooling, all the moms, the dads, and all of the different things. That's just part of it. So I just wanted to chime in with that, because again, it got through, my thick head. I was always one of those kids that never fit in. Okay. I think that's why I got such an affinity for your Luke. And it's identifying. I think God made so many unique and beautiful children. And what we just do is put them in a blender, add in a little communism, add in a lot of hating God, and blend it all up, and then put out what I would call, psychological challenge goo students. So I think it's important that people do that. Go ahead and take it back.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. Yes, I agree. Kids are one of the streams that when I look back on my life of how God has woven this vision in my life since literally I can at age 5, I know that there was a time that he spoke to me about it. Again, later when I was 9, I had this experience where very clearly my adult voice in my head right now, but I was little, and I said, kids are people too. And it really reminds me of when Jesus told the people, don't tell the kids not to come to me, because I created each one of those kids. They each have a calling. They each are special. I want them to come to me to know me, and don't just treat them like they are just an object. They are unique people. And that's really the heart of why we built Skipper. It's because every child is unique, and the standardized learning does not allow kids to find their passion, to find what they're good at. And that's one of the beauties of homeschooling. And Steve will talk, and Aaron, my husband, will talk later about our son. But one of the benefits that we experienced was the time and space that you have in order to be able to find your passions. When my son was graduating from high school, one of the biggest difference that I found, and even though he went back to school and it was for a reason, and wasn't necessarily, I would say, for education. God had some other things in mind for that, which turned out to be awesome. And I knew that going in when he went back to school, it was really for a few different other reasons. Like, we moved to a new town and he wanted to make friends, things like that. But what I noticed was, because he had that time and space before he went back to high school, all the parents that I was talking to, I kept hearing, I wish my son knew what he wanted to do. I wish my daughter knew what they wanted to do, like your child does. They have no clue. And it's because they never really had that time and space like we were able to have for our son. And I see that across the board with homeschool families, is the kids know who they are, where they're going, and they have this strong anchor that's really anchoring them into their passions and their calling and their talent. And that's the heart behind Skipper. The name Skipper is based on the fact that allows you to captain your own ship you know, to be in charge of where you're going. And it's really Skipper is based upon the fact that we know that people learn best when they have a say in what they're learning, where they're learning, and who they're learning from. And so that's why we built Skipper. But in order to make that happen, you can be able to take these classes, find community leaders in your community, but we also have to support the educators so that you have a place to choose who you're going to learn from and what you're going to learn. And a lot of homeschooling myth is that it's done all online. Even though Skipper is an online learning platform, it's not based, you can learn online, but that's not the basis of it. We truly believe that relationship is important and that education needs to be supported physically also. So Skipper is a platform that enhances relationships. That's one of our core values, is relationship building between parents, between educators, between parents and educators, students and educators. So that's the basis of why we built Skipper and what it is. One of the myths also is that when you talk about learning platforms, everybody thinks you're a school. And it's really important to know that we are not a school, we are a platform. And platforms are important because that's the current business model. When we talk about the old 1900s standardized learning system built for factory workers, that's because that business model is linear, top down. And you know, you had the leaders and everything goes down, even the pipeline of your supplies that you're going to purchase. There's gatekeepers. Same thing with education. You have gatekeepers. You have the school district.
Julia, let me interrupt because we're always up against the clock. Tell people, you know, if you will, the basic business model of Skipper, because ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that Doug and I have talked about is how is something out there that people can basically, a lot of people are getting the age where they want to endow something that will encourage godly values and teaching young people. There's others that just abandon the young people. But the bottom line is, explain the business model and how it works, because Skipper is at a place where people want to get involved financially. And I know these guys, they didn't even put this out there until they put 5 years and $1.5 million plus into their whole situation. So explain the business model, because in essence, it answers all of the problems, the concerns, and everybody. You don't have to go anyplace other than the mall or, you know, watch anything online to see that there's a lot of lost kids out there, in my opinion. And obviously, society is using that to destroy everything they hate about the family. So will you explain the business model?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you, Steve. So the business model is, so like I said, Skipper is a platform. So, which is the current business model for businesses now. You can think Airbnb, Uber, where people on Skipper, you have educators who can create courses and host courses, and you have students who can take those courses. So that is the essence of how Skipper works.
And it would be kindergarten through 12th grade, right?
Yeah. So there are...
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
So there's a lot of learning platforms out there and course builders and platforms. However, the biggest difference between us is that we have a learning management system. We have professional teaching tools. So we're the only learning platform that allows you to teach K-12 families and kids. So there's no other platforms out there where you can create and host courses, and you can for K-12. So that is the biggest difference between us. We also, homeschooling, one of the principles from homeschooling, so that doesn't mean you have to be the sole teacher, is the one of the principles is the fact that parents are involved in their kids' education. So we believe parents should have an active role in their kids' education. That doesn't mean you have to teach your kids, but it means that you need to be involved in what your kids are learning and who they're learning from and who is leading them and what they are learning. And so Skipper's basis is to help parents be able to create personalized learning paths through Learning Paths and Goals, helping you understand what your kids need to know, And then finding those resources, finding those teachers that can teach your kids or the curriculum for you to teach yourself. So it's putting education back in the hands of the parent. Doesn't mean the parent necessarily has to be the sole teacher, but it allows parents to take charge of their kids' education and bring being brought back into the equation of learning.
If I can ask a question, Steve, I didn't mean to overtalk you. In that environment, this question came from Eric the Tech. Family members are teachers as well. And by the way, I had a teacher look at this platform and all she said was that's what we need. Anyway, do you encourage like co-ops, if you will, or group learning sessions?
Yes.
Okay.
So Skipper is built for homeschoolers, learning pods, co-ops, teachers, communities, and schools. So in order to build a platform that can support all of those people, it has to be extremely flexible. Right now, we've been in a private beta with a community school. And this is what's exciting about the future of education is there's so many opportunities popping up. Our community school that we work with right now, really closely with, they are a very high academic co-op. Now, there's lots of different co-ops. You have co-ops where parents team teach. We support that. And the particular community co-op we're working with right now, the teachers are hired to teach the classes. Now, most of the teachers are also parents in the in the community, which makes it awesome because it's very community oriented. But Skipper is built to support those communities because these communities of micro schools, learning pods, co-ops, university model schools where kids go to class 1 to 2 days a week and parents teach them at home on those other days. Those are the options that are popping up. And people want to create those learning environments for people in the community, but they have to have technology to do it. We've had even charter schools who are gearing more towards homeschooling say, can we please use your product? Are you ready for us to use you yet? Because there's no technology that exists to support these learning environments. So yes, we 100% support co-ops. And what's great about us is we connect learning anywhere all the time. So as a homeschool family, you could have classes, you could take your dance class in your community. You can take a zoo class. You can take 3 core classes at your co-op and then a math class, maybe through a math teacher online that specializes in math. Well, at that point, you would have 20 different places to go and keep track of your kids. Well, if everybody uses Skipper, you can access it all in one place and your kids have a schedule of everything that they have to do that day. You see their schedule, what they need to do, where they're going to go. And then you can also, as a parent, create different classes that you want to teach. And maybe you're teaching literature or, character building. So it really incorporates all different aspects into one place.
So, you know what, Steve, in my mind, okay, I see this as making the parent or enabling the parents to be their own school board, kind of almost.
To make the decisions that they've abdicated to someone else. Listen, I think this is when people think of the ramifications of children who can actually think and who could actually pass a 1910 Julia test. You know, I mean, we're talking, Doug, about a community. And what's interesting to me is God's family. I really believe, Julia, and I know you and Aaron do too, that the Lord Himself is absolutely going to step into the situation. I believe He did with you guys when He gave you the vision years ago and say, take your families back because you are my children. And look, I know the platform. I know Aaron. Aaron is that's Julia's husband. You'll hear from him in a minute. Ladies and gentlemen, they have a heart for children. It is this thing is self-funding. Obviously, there's a wonderful return on investment. But here's the best thing: what's your future worth, and what's the future of the country worth? We're seeing our country in a unusually deadly state right now, but it starts with each one teach one. I think the thing that appealed most to me, Julia, is the fact that there's so many people, I've met them all my life, homeschoolers. And I'm on record as saying for almost 30 years now, there's no one I respect more than the people who sacrifice their lives to teach their children, meaning they had to give up this, that, or the other thing. And now, finally, it's like the, Doug, it's like the most astonishing support group. And there are mentors. And like I say, let's say somebody, you know, you put Luke, I'm talking Aaron and Julia's son together with a financier, and you're going to hear something in a minute. You can create entrepreneurs, and you can create a young man, whatever their passions are. There are so many amazing, it's like all these pieces of a beautiful puzzle that absolutely represents what God intended. And basically, the society is just throwing them into the meat grinder. But again, I think what's interesting and most importantly is people come back into that C word, communication, and the other word is friendship. Their isolation, loneliness, and I would say, too, along with isolation and loneliness, Julie, is people need others to support. I guess that's the word I want, support. And I think what Skipper does, I know what Skipper does, is to provide that support community to basically, you know, it takes a lot of, how should I say this, determination, but it takes vision. And ladies and gentlemen, I know the vision behind this. I want Julie to share it. And I'm not trying to overtalk her. All I'm trying to say is this. I'm excited. I'm like, this is my chair, okay? And it takes a lot to move me up and down. But the bottom line is that this is a, how should I say this? This is in such a wonderful phase where I see how God is going to release it at the right time. This is actually, Doug, it's interesting. This is being released at the right time that everything's going to Hades. And the thing is that God's saying, I'm bringing my kids back to the heaven that I wanted them to enjoy. You know, the earth is the Lord's, and I'm so excited. And again, I, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I do put my money where my mouth is. I see an opportunity not only to change the course of history, but I know of no more. And I can tell you, Aaron and I talk a lot, and there are some big guys with big money who wanted to come in and buy them out. And Aaron and Julia stood to their guns. And I'm talking big money. We don't have to talk numbers, big money. And so the passion and the never losing, sight of the vision behind it, and it's all set to go. So Julia, I just want people to understand that. It's not in the formative stage. It's not in this stage, that stage. It's a functioning platform, but it's so much bigger than people just put homeschooling, because you know, when you're talking about homeschools, you're talking about a family involvement. And so, you know, please just take it from there, because people need to know that it goes beyond just the homeschooling. That's really important, but it's about establishing identity in the children, giving them access to some of the smartest people. I maintain that you hire retired teachers who started out, 30, 40 years ago, they know how to teach. And I want, and I so love this, that this provides a platform. And when I say elderly, that's with tongue in cheek, but it provides experience. And people who have experience are those you want to be the mentors of your children. Go ahead.
And Steve, I'm sorry, if I can double team you. Julia, I'm going to double team with Steve. So remember that where he was at, but let me ask you this, because a lot of people, I'm sure a lot of people are going to have this question. Okay. Because with the state of education today, how corrupt the curriculum is, how do you select what standards, in other words, how can a parent, let's say I've got a child or a grandchild, how can I be assured that what standards do you use to select teachers? Or when I say select them, you know what I mean.
Yeah. Great question. And that's a question we hear quite a bit. And if you remember, we're a platform, so we're not in control. We're not a school, so we're not in control of what's being taught and who's teaching. However, what we do is we have like verification of who is going to be on the platform teaching when you select teachers. But when it comes to curriculum, the homeschool curriculum is the most amazing curriculum I've ever seen. And that is what's being used typically in homeschooling co-ops and being taught at home. And so you'll be able to see learning standards, what is happening and what is being taught. So, and then most of the time, you know, you're going to a co-op or school, so they're going to teach you, tell you that as well. So once you start getting involved in the homeschooling movement, one of the principles is phenomenal curriculum. It's not the same curriculum you're seeing in the schools. Parents do have a say of what type of curriculum and what they want their kids to be taught, whether they're teaching it themselves or they're going with a co-op or selecting a teacher. So you also have rating systems. So when you have community ratings, you can talk about, you know, who's a great teacher, what they're doing. And when you bring competition back into education, that's part of the problem right now, is there's not competition. I can teach, if I'm in a school, I can do whatever. I'm not gonna, you know, I still have students. But when you start introducing competition, the great teachers rise up and it is known. When I went to a homeschool convention, I was standing next to a booth where the kids, there's probably 20 kids lined up at this booth to talk to a teacher. I mean, how often do you see kids lining up to talk to a teacher? And it's because this was an online class and it was Dr. D Math. And it's because he was incredible. So you start to see great teachers rising up. You have different types of recommendations and, you know, review systems. So that really helps helps parents being able to see what to choose and who they're choosing from. And then you really have most popular types of curriculum that's in the homeschool. And you're very aware of what type of education they're doing. So going back to Steve, I wanted to really just kind of quickly go over what Skipper really does. We have, so Skipper is basically, to have such a flexible model, we have created Skipper basically broken down into 7 modules. So the first is you can plan, you can discover ideas, you can create courses, you can then teach those courses, and you can grade and assess your child's progress. You can stay organized with your calendars and different types of project views. And then the last piece is communication, which ties it all together. And it's like Steve said, community and communication, especially working with homeschool families and our beta schools that we're working with. Communication is one of the biggest pain points. One, people want to find like-minded communities. Those communities are popping up everywhere. There are community platforms that people are starting, and being able to find people to ask questions, to find people that you belong with, to have that community feeling. And that's one reason why we love bringing co-ops on, because they already have communities, and it gives communities a way to interact with each other, to share files, share pictures, ask questions, send out announcements, have calendars of when their picnic is that day. So communication is a strong base of Skipper and what is truly needed. And kids love it. I see the kids, when you ask them what's your favorite thing about Skipper, they love being able to see what they have to do that day and be able to turn their work in easily. But they also love being able to communicate and chat with their fellow classmates. They love answering each other's questions. They love helping each other out. It's a huge help for teachers. When the teacher, we had one teacher one time say, I don't have enough time to answer all these questions. And so the director of our community co-op and I both said, listen, let's set up your chat, have the kids ask the questions. And I guarantee you, the kids will start answering those questions for you and you won't have to do it. You can just review it, look at it and say, yeah, that's correct. So it's been really awesome being able to bring people together, which people are craving community right now. And they're craving being able to find like-minded people. Absolutely. That they can share their life with.
You know, Doug, I think too, one of the things that's so heartbreaking is how many young people are taking their own lives because they lost that communication. They lost that ability to basically, you know, just be kids at that age or be young adults. And that's why the whole thing about Skipper, and look, if we go into another bogus BS lockdown, shutdown, or cut off period, as long as the internet stays up, and it will, because the powers that be got to use it to try and control everybody else. I think it breaks the suicide chain that I've seen develop, that everybody sees on the front page, the hopelessness and despair. And most parents, Julie, is this a fair statement, who are just trying to keep their head above water, that they can't handle that stress. So they hope by some miracle, I mean, this is the only time that I'd say non-believers believe in miracles, when somehow they abandon their kids and they're going to turn out to be great kids. It's taking the pressure off of the when I say children, I mean, I've talked to 10-year-old kids who are homeschooled, who listen to Doug Hagman, listen to me, listen to Mike Adams, you know, listen to these people, and they're as sharp as tacks, okay? Last thing I'd want to do is to tell people, listen, an asset is an asset. Don't cut your kids off from a future that is already being, quote, dictated to them, but ultimately it's the future, the outcome of their future is by the choices they make. So I think this is a cool thing. I think can I be honest with you? There's something about, a hug, okay? Your loved one, someone you greet, haven't seen. So when you start to hug, and I'm not only talking little kids, I'm talking young adults, you know, how about that young girl, 15 years old, that because she's on Faces of Death book, and 10 people, I mean, I'm saying this, I'm believing first God, I'm going to turn right back over to strategically place people in each other's sphere of influence that can support each other. Even Jesus sent out the disciples two by two. So, you know, again, thank you for what you're doing, because I don't think people see the state of education. How many people were going to go to college didn't this year? You told me a horrific
number. Since 2019, college enrollment's down over a million a year for college enrollment.
Well, it's significant. So again, Doug, by the way, I think I'm glad of that. I'm going to tell you why. Because for a child to go into debt, or a young person to go into debt of, you know, $40,000, $50,000 and not have any job hope, but they're going there. And even college has been turned into, in my opinion, okay, so this is not Julia, this is me, but college is being turned into a communist indoctrination center. And even and most people don't know this, the Ivy League colleges, most of them all started out as quote unquote Christian colleges. And, you know, unfortunately, they put the word Ivy out there, but they forget the word poison in front of it. So the thing is that we're talking about, you know, a solution that's functional. And again, you know, kids support each other, each one teach one, but each one can support one. And I've watched it happen, just people that are melting down, and somebody at the right place at the right time, even I'm talking on Skipper's platform, God will make sure that happens. So again, you know, if there's anything, Doug, you want to add to that, I'm just excited.
You know what? No, Steve. Well, I will add one thing. All right. I believe with my heart of hearts. In fact, I spent some time looking at this skipper.io. That's kind of a splash page, but you get a feel for things. Again, the link will be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. But here's the thing that I'm really excited about. Again, we talk about problems. We talk about all of the bad things, the CRT. And you know, folks, you complain at the school board, okay, over the teaching and teachers and such. It's lights out for you potentially. So this is something that fills a need. Steve, you're jumping up and down. I'm jumping up and down. So we need to garner the support to make sure that Skipper takes off. Okay, so how do we do that? Because, I mean, if I could, I'd write a check for $1 million right now, okay? But how do we make sure that this goes, this succeeds, this gets off? I mean, it's launched, but, you know, this moves forward. How do we do that? Julia.
Well, right now we are looking for people to come in and support us. We have personally committed $1.6 million. We have raised over $1.5 million with family and friends seed round. And we're looking to really close our seed round with an additional $1 million to help us hire more people and to get our product fully launched to the public later this year. We need this project is so big, it's grand. It takes everybody to commit to it. And whether it's financially, whether it's through prayers, it's been tough. As you know, if you have a promise from God and you're working nonstop for it, it's tough. There's a lot of work that goes into it. And if you are a co-op or a teacher or a learning coach, if you want to be a part of it and bring your expertise, we would love to talk to you as well. But the main thing we're looking for right now to bring this to market is for investors to help invest in Skipper. And this is the once in a lifetime opportunity. The last time education changed was the Industrial Revolution. We're in the digital age. Education is changing just like everything around us. And so this is a chance in a lifetime. It doesn't happen very often in history. It's happening right now where we can change the course of education for centuries, for our kids, for our grandkids and their kids. This is really a critical time. And it's up to us. Are we going to turn our hearts back to our kids and really take control of what's going on in our kids' lives and our families? And we need everybody to be a part of it. And we'd love for you to join us.
You know, Aaron's going to come on, Doug, and talk about this. And I think I don't want to run out of time, but Aaron can, you know, share some of the, some of the amazing things in the background. But I want to people to understand something. Julie and Aaron have a young man now, I was going to say a child, who's growing up. And I know Luke, I've talked to him. And, you know, I mean, I'll save what I'm going to say until after Aaron shares it. But ladies and gentlemen, they need financial investors. And, you know, I'm only saying this to people that then you'll get the entire investment package that tells you what your return on investment is. I mean, this is a real thing. I mean, everybody wanted to buy Bitcoin at $1. Everybody wanted to buy Apple. Everybody wants to buy this. This is a huge platform. It is a revenue generating platform. It isn't No, it's not only an investment of your heart, but it's a functional, how should I say this, income producing thing that the investors will share in. Because what else is there? Yeah, you want to go into the stock market? Nope. You want to go into cryptos right now? Nope. So a ground level investment. Now, because Aaron and I are good friends and confidants, the bottom line is I know some of the people he's talking to. And when you get the billionaire snobs, okay, and that's what they are, you know, and some of those guys that Aaron's gone to on Wall Street and stuff, they want to take it and spin it away from the vision and the dreams that God has placed in Julia. That's why this thing isn't there. You know, and a lot of what I call chicken coop investors, that's the nice way I can say it, chicken coop investors basically, Doug, want to wait until the thing is perfect, and then they want to give you nickels for, you know, $1,000 revenue stream. So what this is a self-funding thing. And we're hoping that, and I'm speaking now I'm a full-fledged backer of this, and I also see what God wants to do. And this is not for everyone as an investor, but it's for everyone to benefit from. And there are certain, you know, things that people have got to understand. But I think, Julia, that the number one thing I see right now, and obviously, is the finances. And by the way, you know, the business model of this is spectacular. Not good. Yeah, not great. It's spectacular. Everybody said, well, I wish. Quit wishing and do. Mm-hmm. Julia, thank you so much. I love your passion. I love, obviously, your family. I am so excited to basically see now from concept to integration to full-scale launch. And again, ladies and gentlemen, you know, it's a pretty astonishing thing because people will pay like, you know, whatever, $20 a month or whatever for this, that, and the other thing. And I'm still astonished. I'm not a coffee drinker, but I think now the last time I saw a coffee, Doug, at a Starbucks or some, you know, place, you know, $5 or whatever it is for whatever kind of coffee it is. The point is that it will have a cost, but the cost is going to be a blessing in one way, because it connects you, it keeps you integrated into the whole. And let's just say this, we got a father, a mother who have incredible talents, and they're looking for extra income, necessary income. This Skipper platform, if you just think about it, think about who wouldn't have wanted to be in a, I would say this, godly version of something other than Faces of Death book, other than Instagram, other than monkey business gram or whatever, Twitter twatter, blood will splatter, you know. So this is a ground level thing. I mean, it's pun intended, it is the opportunity of our lifetime. And I'm thinking of my children, Doug, and as you are, grandchildren.
Yep.
And I refuse to give the heritage of the Lord over to these entities that are just infused with the desire to consume our children.
This is a true investment into our future. And think about that, the generations that can be molded properly, taught properly. This is a fantastic investment. So I just, before we let her go, Steve, Julia, if you can, please, or if you would, please, make sure people know where to go, how to get information. And if they want to cut a check for $1 million or whatever, or even 10 bucks, it doesn't matter. Or however, let us know where to go.
Mm-hmm. We put together just a quick page, just to give you a quick video of Skipper, just to sum it up in a nutshell, to make it very clear for you what Skipper is, and then a contact form. And then you can also find all of our investment docs. But you can go to bit.ly/SkipperInvest. All lowercase, so bit.ly/SkipperInvest. And would that be on a link that they can find as well?
We'll put this up in the program description box, folks. All you have to do, go to today's episode, look down below at HagmanReport.com, open that description box up, and the link will be right there. Go ahead.
Well, again, Julia, thank you so much. And, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to hear a mind-blowing story of the dream of a mother, a godly mother. And by the way, I'm saying this at another time, at the right time, I'll bring it, with her permission, of course, Julian, to share some of the words of the Lord that she's been given that have come to pass. Gee, how interesting in this day and age. But the point is that it's the, how should I say this, the passion that is the catalyst and motivation for Skipper. And I got to tell you something, I'm really a hard, I'm pretty critical, that's an understatement, but I understood instantly the vision. And I think that this is exactly the fulfillment of the scripture, that share the vision. And those who catch the vision will want to be part of it. And by the way, this isn't a charity case. This is a bona fide, once you see their investment package, and once you hear from Aaron, who is the chief, operations officer and CFO, chief financial. But ladies and gentlemen, you just heard from the CEO, and you just heard from the visionary. So, Julia, thank you so much. And I can't wait. You know, I'm jumping out of my chair and literally to get Aaron on to talk about Luke, and also for people to understand that this has been how can two walk together except they be agreed? I mean, this has been not only a labor of love, but an absolute act of obedience to the direction that God gave you. And you guys are walking it out, and God bless you both. Big hugs.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Hagman and Steve, for having me today. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Julia Brickman, CEO and founder. Folks, again, Julia Brickman, CEO and founder of Skipper. Aaron Brickman coming right up here next. I just want to take this opportunity to thank Steve again for offering solutions. My goodness, if I was younger and had my children were younger, this is exactly what I'd be looking for. And folks, hey, if you're a grandparent or a parent, if you have children, check that out. Okay. Now, before we go any further, I do want to just mention, up on our website, as well as Steve Quayle, stevequayle.com, gen6.com, but stevequayle.com or hagmanreport.com is the Egyptian and Alien Connections in the Americas. Folks, you've got to see this. You've got to see it. Go to HagmanReport.com or SteveQuayle.com. Click on the banner for the mini conference fundraiser where you can pre-order. And once you do, Okay, this is going to be coming out in full on July 30th. But once you do, okay, once you see, I'll tell you what, you're not going to be disappointed with the product, because you are going to see things that no one else except the expedition team and Steve Quayle have seen, along with a lot of great information that's going to allow you to connect the dots. You can read the description there as you see it on the screen. Again, make sure you pre-order this, because you're going to want this as soon as it's available. Again, that's the Egyptian and Alien Connections in the Americas. Fantastic stuff. I just can't believe what Steve was able to put together and his crew. Oh, my goodness. All right. I'm going to turn it back over to Steve. We're looking for Aaron Brickman. What a fantastic story. We've got 30 minutes. And Steve, it's all you.
Well, I want to introduce my friend Aaron Brickman, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. Ranger. So he's no stranger to conflict, battle, and having to deal with the moronicide that's overtake. That's in my new word, Aaron. Moronicide, which is the moronic decimation of America. Aaron and I have been friends, as I stated. I don't know anybody that knows the history of finance. He's an active trader, as in anything. And he's been my tutor in a lot of ways, but also, interestingly enough, he's been tutoring my son, Tyler, in ways I can't. So I told Aaron the other day, Aaron, I want to thank you, I publicly do, for just the time that you've taken. And thank you for coming on with us today. So, you know, I want you to tell the story of Luke, if you will, because this is pretty amazing to me. And I mean, I think the Doug, your listeners, our supporters are going to be blown away by this. So, Aaron, nice to see you.
Good to see you, Steve, and good to see you, Doug. Thank you for having us on today. It's you guys do such tremendous work. I just want to give a shout out to both you guys, because you guys really have really done the heavy lifting for definitely my generation and the generations to come. And by the way, that plug for Steve's new documentary is mind blowing. Steve accomplishes more in a given year than it's just amazing, Steve, what you are accomplishing and what God is continuing to do through you. So I just want to give a shout out to both you guys, because it's just really incredible what you guys are doing each and every day. I'm so thrilled with speaking with both of you today.
Well, thank you, Mr. Brickman. Folks, Aaron Brickman, who happens to be the husband of Julia and the founder as well as CEO of Skipper, or founder of Skipper with Julia. So, yeah, thank you. And we appreciate everything you do as well. So, Steve, again, what a story you're about to hear. Hang on, folks. But go ahead, Steve.
Hey, Aaron, you know, from the first time you told me the story and we talked, I said, that story has to be told, because it shows what initiative, obviously, you've mentored your son. When I heard this story, you know, I wanted to write Luke. I forget how old he was then, maybe 18, 19. I'll write him a $250,000 check. Didn't have it at that time, but I believe he was given a gift. And tell that story, because I want people to understand, number one, you are a financial success. Julie's a financial success. You're innovators. But that, Doug, that kind of, if you will, from family context, listen to what their son, Luke, was able to do just on initiative and understanding his father's mentoring and the financial realm. This is one of the, I got to tell you, I think this is one of the all-time, no flattery, all-time coolest stories I've ever heard. Go ahead, Aaron.
Well, thank you, Steve. It is a cool story, and I don't take credit for it. You know, as all of us as parents, when something extraordinary happens in the life of our child, it really is a God thing, right? Like, so I'm not going to sit here and take credit for mentoring Luke. And, you know, as a parent, you try and do your best, you pour in some values and really try to raise them in the admonition of the Lord. But they're their own individual. They have their own gifts, their own calling, their own, you know, struggles. And so with Luke, you know, he's grown up in the house of two entrepreneurs. we really encouraged him to pursue his own interests, to obviously dedicate himself to the Lord, but we kind of just let him go down different paths and really explore. But in that exploration was just a shock to me because I'm always having him think outside the box, adapt, critical inquiry, critical analysis, all the good skills that you really need to be successful. But at the age of 17, it was 17 or 18, it was a senior year. As you may recall, the oil market went negative $40. And I was, that is, ladies and gentlemen, that has never happened. It was theoretically impossible. Like, it was a complete shock to everybody trading that day. Nobody had seen a commodity go negative. And what that really means is that they will pay you to take delivery of a physical product. So instead of you having to pay money, can you imagine gold going negative and they're going to pay you X amount of dollars per ounce and then give you the gold? That's what was happening in the oil market that day. And so I was mesmerized by the charts as a typical trader does. And I completely missed what was happening. My son was extremely sharp and immediately saw that it was plummeting and wanted to buy an oil tanker. I kid you not. Wanted to buy a 2 million barrel oil tanker. And he was able to contact the company that would sell him the oil tanker, and they wanted $20 million for the oil tanker. Everything I'm telling you takes place in like less than an hour. Okay. He then is able to talk to the vice president. He calls the oil exchange, gets the vice president's phone number at JP Morgan, who's in charge of the oil desk, and is wanting to purchase 2 million barrels of oil and take delivery. On that trade, what that means is they will give you $80 million because it went negative $40 times 2 million barrels. They'll give you $80 million and give you 2 million barrels of oil if you'll pick it up. So in his mind, oil tanker costs 20. They're going to give me 80. I net 60 right there. Plus, I have 2 million barrels in a vessel that I can keep offshore. When oil bounces back positive, I'm going to make tens of millions of dollars. Well, I'm sitting here just marveling. First of all, I don't even know how you get a hold of the vice president of the oil exchange at JP Morgan. He's then talking to the Swiss bankers. And the only hiccup in this entire plan, and this is all within an hour, is JP Morgan wants him to open up a trading account and deposit $200 million before they will conduct the trade, which was proof to me that it's an insider's game, right? The rich get rich and everybody else has to play by different rules. But what I've marveled at, I think I told you, Steve, I told a couple of my other friends who are, one that manages actually a bond portfolio on Wall Street, and they think it's the coolest story because nobody that they know was actually thinking at that level. And it takes a 17, 18 year old to see the instant opportunity to make extravagant amounts of wealth. And the only thing that precluded him from doing that is they got different rules for the elite.
And 200 million bucks.
Yeah. You got to have 200 million. And what's the problem, right? So I just think, and I think that is, it's a great story to really inspire people to constantly be questioning, constantly be thinking outside the box, constantly. I mean, Steve, look at what you're doing in Mexico. I mean, it really defies what I think is possible. And I mean, and it's just about us freeing our minds and really seeing just having no limits in our thought, especially since we are serving the Lord just having no limitations in what God can do with us and with our kids.
Doug, go ahead.
Yeah, that was, you know, he did not get the trade, but I will say about the trade, you know, in hindsight, It was great because you'll remember after that period of time, there was literally hundreds of oil tankers parked off the west coast of California, and they were just watching the price of oil go up before they sold their inventory onto the open market. I mean, that trade was probably a net of $100 to $200 million trade. If you had held that trade, if you had held it in the containers for about 9 to 12 months, that was about a $200 million trade on one tanker.
But somebody with the money, though, if I'm hearing this correctly, because it just so he could have walked away with an oil tanker filled with how many?
2 million barrels.
2 million barrels. And how much? $80 million, right?
Right. He would have netted. He would have actually paid off the $20 million oil tanker, netted $60 million, and had 2 million barrels to then sell onto the open market. So, hey, look, oil goes to $80, goes to $100. If it goes to $80, you got $160 million net just on the oil sale.
So, okay. Now, yeah, but see, and I agree with you. This, to me, the two different sets of rules. What I was thinking, somebody had to do that.
They did.
Right?
They did. No, J.P. Morgan, and that's where you had – literally hundreds of oil tankers sitting off the west or off the east or west coast off of California. And yeah, that's what they exactly were doing. But it wasn't on my radar. I don't think it was on your gentleman's radar. It certainly wasn't. The only person I know was my son, who was thinking the same thing that literally all the guys with the oil tankers were thinking.
Wow. I think too, Aaron, I've known you. I think people need to understand as the chief financial officer, I mean, Aaron is and listen, this isn't a mutual admiration society. The truth is the truth. He's been an effective commodities trader for the last, 20, 25 years?
Yeah, I would say I'm not really probably a good trader. And I mean that. Well, I would say I'm not a good trader, but let me have a caveat for that. My son lived in Florida, and there was surfers, right? And there's surfers in California. There's your everyday surfers, and then there's the big wave surfers. Okay, and just because you're great at surfing doesn't mean you can surf 60, 70, 80 foot waves. Okay, that is big wave surfing. You fall, you die. Okay. I don't really trade everyday movements. It's very hard, but what I do trade, and I have been fortunate to trade, and it's really more of the Lord than my skill set. I will tell you that for sure. My wife will say that, because I was short for 9/11. I was short for 2008. I was short for 2015's flash crash. I like big wave surfing when it comes to the markets, because you can. It's just fun. So you're being kind.
Yeah, fun and nerve-wracking.
It is nerve-wracking, but these are waves. If you want to talk about, you know, with a surfing analogy, these are storms, financial storms that you might see 3 or 4 times in a century, right? I mean, so if you can grab one, it's pretty exciting, pretty thrilling, obviously financially lucrative. But the everyday trading, I only watch the everyday trading to set me up for this. I mean, you know, these events in our economic history, they're rare. They're infrequent. You really have to just be very, very patient for them.
Meanwhile, Steve, I'm all in, heavily invested on Blockbuster video stores. So just so you know, okay, yeah. that's why I'm
at. I would use another word in front of Buster on that. But again, I think Aaron, again, with Skipper and the, you know, opportunity that people who want to get in on a ground level investment, what I'm trying to lay out is after I understood, I read obviously all the things I had to read, but I understood the model of how Skipper is going to be able to be self-funding, obviously self-funding, but Aaron, just explain, how many minutes do we have, Doug?
We have 15 minutes. Thank you.
Okay, good. Explain then, Aaron, the model for the investor. we got with Julie, the CEO, chief executive officer, we got the vision, the dream, the passion, the teaching element. But explain, if you would, for the person, the investor, because again, you are one. And as far as opportunity out there, as you just gave, Luke understood that he had to play in the big boys game with big boys money. That's why the whole system's rigged. But explain why Skipper gives a different perspective on a ground level investment. And you heard me obviously sharing that you've been before enough, you know, billionaires, and they want to basically wait. And then they want to offer you pennies for, you know, $1,000 returns. But explain how that comes back, please.
Yeah, let me, I'm going to try and be very succinct and go real fast since our time is limited. But I would say this, I would recommend to your audience, I know you and Doug are very familiar with Neil Howe's book, The Fourth Turning. That is pivotal in my mind for anybody doing investment right now. Anybody trying to navigate what is coming, it's pivotal to have an understanding. What that book basically said is that there's 20-year cycles, and there's four of them. The Romans knew them. They called it a saculum. Each generation is different. It's kind of like a pendulum. It oscillates back and forth. There's likes, dislikes. There's values that they have. But where it really is pertinent to this discussion is that over an 80-year cycle, institutions rise and institutions fall. So you can go back to the Revolutionary War, and post the Revolutionary War, it was a completely, the United States transformed. A lot of institutions came into being. You go 80 years later, it's the Civil War, the same thing. America changes, new institutions rise, new ways of thinking arise, new ways of business, the Industrial Revolution. You get the 80 years later, it's World War II. Completely transformed the United States, completely transformed the workforce, the IMF, the World Bank. All these institutions began to arise, and now we're 80 years later, and it's literally history repeating itself, and that creates extreme opportunities for investors. We've been aware of this as we've been building Skipper, and what do I say about that? Well, in the fourth turning, all institutions crumble. All institutions, we're talking political institutions, religious institutions, economic institutions, okay? Because they were built, and here's a simple reason why, they were built for yesterday's model. They were built for the last 80 years, okay? And so we're seeing that in education. We're seeing that in politics. We're seeing that now with the breakdown of globalism. We are seeing that with the breakdown of the supply chain. We are going to witness all these institutions fail. But here's where the opportunity is. At the same time that they are failing, the new institutions that will literally govern the next 80 years are being constructed. And we can see that in the news. We can see what the Russians and the Chinese, they're building their versions. Okay, we can see that economics is going to change. We can see that globalism is changing. The way of doing business in the United States is going to have to change. And where it concerns us and our investors is the way that you conduct education we don't need to debate that point. It is radically collapsing. It is collapsing. It is almost in free fall. And so this is going to create a huge void and a huge need. And the time to be building those new solutions is not after the building has fallen. They're being built right now because the people will be desperate for a solution. So I'm excited because we're really going to see education that has been dominated by public funding start moving back into the private sector and the private funding. And because of that, there's going to be a tremendous opportunity for investors to profit from basically the reorganization of education in the United States in platforms. If they're successful, they are global. Airbnb, Uber, the nature of platforms. This is why they get crazy, insane, multi-billion-dollar valuations, because if it works in one country, the next day it works across the planet. So ways for investors to get involved, we are doing a basic investment. Our structure is the exact same structure that most of the tech companies out of Silicon Valley are doing, which is a convertible note. So it's like a bond on us over the next 18 months. That bond has a 5% yield, but you're not investing in it for the 5% yield, because in 18 months, when we go to Series A, which would be the next funding round, and that's usually the round you've already gotten traction. You might have 20, 30, 50, 100,000 customers, and you are now scaling it, especially extending it out nationwide, extending it out maybe globally. That's what these companies are doing. At that stage of funding, everything converts to equity. Okay. And so why you would want to get involved now versus Series A is, even though you're in a convertible now, you are locked in at a valuation today, not the valuation 18 months from now. The investors coming in 18 months from now are going to pay a way higher valuation. So to give you an example, we have a 14.6 million pre-money valuation. That's when, if we are tech semi-successful, let's say we only have like 75,000 customers out of 10 million. You're going to be looking at easily 150 to a 250 million valuation 18 months from now. Okay. That is not pie in the sky. It's being done by ed tech companies over the last 3-4 years. Okay. I can cite examples of companies. In fact, OutSchool, it was 600, launched in 2017. It doesn't even do what we're doing, just a piece of what we're doing. 2017, it had $600,000 in sales. 2019, it had 6 million in sales. So in 3 years, they went from 600,000 to 6 million. That's okay. The very next year, they did 100 million in sales. That is the type of demand that the marketplace is now wanting in providing to companies that are offering a solution to their children's educational needs. My attitude is, we got a 14.6 pre-money valuation. We're shooting for 75,000 customers in the next 18 months. I think we're going to definitely achieve that. If we do, you're looking at 10x on your initial investment in 18 months. People say, well, that's crazy. It can't happen. It happens every day in tech. It's that simple. It doesn't happen if you own a coffee shop, but it happens in tech, because we are seeing a winner take all in tech. These companies, if it, especially platform companies, if it works at the local area, it works globally. And so I will tell you this. We know that what God has promised us is going to come to fruition. We have not gone to venture capital firms. I will repeat, we have not gone to venture capital firms. We have specifically prayed and just wanted God to bring the right individual investors that can bless us and that we can bless in return. And so we're trusting that God's going to complete that, that we're not going to have to go to venture capital firms, sell our soul. There's a lot of venture capital firms that would be great partners, but I don't know who they are. And I know too many horror stories about the venture capital firms.
I would tell you, I had a trip down venture capital hell, You know, in essence, they talk about, you know this too, flowery valuations. But at the end of the day, you're lucky to leave with your pants, your shoes, and your shorts. So again, ladies and gentlemen, this is not a pie in the sky model. This is a functional Silicon Valley model. And I can tell you this, I know Aaron too well. He's very cautious, very conservative. And I really believe personally, and I'm not making any promises or any, but this is really a ground level opportunity, and it's redemptive, Doug. And that's what I'm saying. I'm the one guy that gets tired of negative headlines too. But the bottom line is, there's the world that is, but there also is an answer to it. And I'm tired of sitting back and watching kids just blow their brains out, you know, or walk
in. I know our time is short. Let me give you a 60-second look. Because I could go off an hour on America and where we're at. God is not done. God is not done with this last generation, this next generation. He is passionate. He wouldn't have us, Julia and I, doing what we've been doing the last 7 years if he was going to write that generation off. He is passionate about the father's hearts returning to the children. He is passionate about families. And tech has done nothing. Tech 99% of the time has done nothing but destroy the family. Okay. But that's not because of tech. That's because of the wickedness that is behind the use of that technology. And I know that God is going to do some amazing things with Skipper. We're not the only ones out there. There's 1,000, there's 10, there's 7,000, you know, that he told Elijah that had not bent the knee. And I know that he is doing a tremendous work in the hearts of entrepreneurs, businessmen, businesswomen, teachers, curriculum writers, and that they are going to be coming forth. And I couldn't be more excited. I never thought I'd be building tech for education, but I'll tell you, for such a time as this, there is not another industry in the United States that I would want to be a part of other than what we're doing right now. Not just because of the incredible, you know, the size of the industry, the amount of money that can be made, but literally it's going to be an art. We are going to rewrite the rules for parental involvement, for what high quality education looks like, for bringing communities together. And we are not kicking out a product. You know, one of the reasons it's taken so long to build is we're not kicking out this isn't a B movie. This is, especially with this generation, these kids in the standards that they have for technology, we are going to give them a tier one incredible experience on day one, or we're not going to do it. And our commitment is both to the consumer, but especially to the Lord, that he's given us his best, and we're required to do the same in return.
Amen.
I know there is a page out there. It's a one pager for investment information. It'll be in the link. The link will be in the program description box, folks, under HagmanReport.com. Is there anything, I mean, how can people, what's the minimum amount? If I want to consider converting my Blockbuster video store stock into this, what would be the minimum amount that you would accept? And how does one do that?
I would like the minimum amount to be $25,000, but I will say this, Doug, and I'm only saying this for your audience, okay? We are passionate. I have marveled at who has invested in our company, because I know that it's God moving upon their heart. I know he has something. He's not just wanting to bless us or bless students and parents who are going to be using the product. He wants to bless the investors. And so I'm lowering that threshold for your audience. I want to see God's running this show, and Joy and I mean this. We don't pay lip service to God. You know, Steve, what we think about. Yeah, I can tell you, I don't know how the wicked get out of bed every day. It's hard enough when you love the Lord to get out of bed. So we are, I really want to make it available to your audience. $25,000. The link that you're providing, they can fill out an investment. It's just a contact sheet. I will be in contact with them. They can schedule a time to have a conversation with me. We'll send them all the appropriate documents to just even, and I'm not talking about to invest. I'm just talking about to explore this more, to find out more about it, to really do their due diligence. I mean, that's the next step, is really due diligence. I mean, they've worked hard for their money. I would expect nothing less. And certainly to reach out and have a conversation with Julia or myself is always welcome. I'm totally excited. I know the news is full of all the destruction that is at hand. And what you don't hear about is all the plans, all the building projects that God has behind the scenes for taking his people through the fire. He's not going to take them out of the fire. He's going to take them through it.
Amen. Amen. And Steve, I know you believe that. And Aaron Brickman, rounding it out from Julia, of course, Skipper.io is what we're talking about, a great homeschooling platform, investment opportunity, and invest in your future, invest in our future. Steve, I want to thank you so much. Aaron, thank you so very much. And I hope people take advantage of this. I really do. But God bless you both. We're out of time. Steve.
Thank you, Doug. Thank you, Aaron.
All right. Thank you, Doug. Thank you, Steve.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Bye.
Wow, folks. You know what? I'll tell you something. It warms my heart to be able to provide solutions. And you know what? Hey, investment opportunity, if you got it, great. And I'll tell you what, it's something that is well worth, in my view anyway, on, from both sides, from the future generation to the investment opportunity itself. All right. That'll do it for me today. HagmanReport.com. Again, HagmanReport.com. Don't forget, register for the pre-order the conference, mini conference /fundraiser. All right. Thank you so much for your belief and trust in us. May God bless. Good night.